Good morning. Welcome to Dayton Mennonite Church. We invite you to stand as we begin our service this morning. Our Sunday school lesson was focused on the worship of God and the worship of God's people. So let's carry that with us this morning as we worship the same God here in our church this morning. Our hope is built on nothing less.
Thank you.
Our Sunday school lesson this morning reminded us of the eternity of God, at least for me, and a reminder that we worship the same God that we worshiped, that they worshiped all those days back then. Our final song, Ancient of Days, reminds us of this as well, that we serve a God who is not only the God of today and the God of tomorrow, but the God of eternity as well.
Over there.
Please be seated.
This morning, we not only worship a God who knows our name, the scripture tells us that he even knows the very number of hairs on our head, some of us more and some of us less, but anyway, we serve an amazing God, and what a beautiful Sabbath morning to be together and to lift up the name of Jesus and worship together. For a devotional this morning, I'd like to read a few verses from Psalm chapter 139. I'll be reading from verse 7 through verse 16. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, or if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, but when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Obviously, today is Mother's Day, the day when we honor the mothers in our lives, in our congregation. And I think maybe the best way we can do that is to literally honor the gift of life itself. A few weeks ago, Deb and I had the privilege of attending Eastgate Ministries banquet and heard just a really inspirational message from Jonathan Kahn. His message was based on 2 Chronicles 7:14, a very familiar scripture. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And Jonathan just gave a beautiful message on how the prayers of God's people move literally kingdoms and nations. And he went back into our nation's history, went back to the Civil War, and talked about a National Day of Prayer and how that changed the course of the Civil War. He talked about the return in 2020, which I know a few of us in the congregation here were up there on the Washington Mall that day. Just a powerful day of prayer that was kind of the beginning of the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And just a celebration of life itself. And I left that meeting at Eastgate, the Eastgate banquet, once more amazed at the power of prayer, how prayer can move nations and kingdoms and literally mountains, as the scripture tells us. And I think most of all, I left again with a new realization that every life, regardless of its origins or whatever, every life is a gift from God, and it's a precious gift. Our offering this morning is for pastoral support. I want to invite the ushers forwards. Let's pray together. God, this morning it's again a privilege to be in your house with your people, and what a privilege it is to have a day that's set aside that we celebrate motherhood, that we celebrate life itself. And just Thank you, Lord, for the mothers in our congregation. We also want to, at this time, remember our pastors, Pastor Mike, Pastor Micah, and Pastor Sean, and just pray, God, your abundant blessing on them, that you would fill every need in their life, that you would protect them physically and spiritually, and that you would inspire them and fill them with your Holy Spirit as they take care of the affairs of the church and share the gospel with so many, both within these walls and without. We pray now your blessing on both the gift and the giver. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please take out the Mennonite hymnal, the red hymnal, and turn to number 471. Number 471.
Introduce our speaker this morning, Mr. Sam Skaggs from the Norfolk, Virginia area. Sam has been a pastor, a missionary, and I'm not sure what all else, but he loves the Lord, and it's good to have him and his wife Bev here with us today. And you know, I was thinking last night, it's really cool to see old people like me that are still passionate about the gospel and sharing the word of God and on missions. So God bless you, Sam.
Amen. Bless you, Bob. Thank you.
Lord, I just thank you so much this morning for my brother Sam and what he has meant, his life, his ministry has meant to so many. And I just thank you that he and Bev can be here with us this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, now that you would just come and open up the word of life to us through our brother. Just bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. I don't know who he was looking at me when he said old. I'm 37. Plus a few years. Turn with me in your Bibles to the first book of Samuel, chapter 1. Happy Mother's Day. This message is for anybody in this room. I'm dedicating it to the mothers, but it's for anybody in this room that was born of a mother. Anybody born of a mother? If you're not born of a mother, that means you're an alien. You can leave the room right now. I tell you, sometimes when I listen to what's going on in the world, I feel like I'm an alien. And, you know, it's interesting to me that I didn't think I would live long enough to see our culture say that black is white and white is black and boys are girls and girls are boys and up is down and down is up. But we've arrived. You know, we've arrived, but that's a good thing because God is at work in this world today. I mean, he is moving all over the planet. He's moving amongst Muslims. He's moving amongst Hindus. He's rescuing girls from sex trafficking. we're building ministries in Albania and places around the world, and we're seeing God move unlike anything I've ever seen in my life. And so when I come to this church, I'm excited. I preached here when I was a younger preacher, when Herman Reitz was the pastor. Anybody remember Herman Reitz? Herman was one of my mentors, one of my buddies, and even with a last name like Skaggs, he took me under his wing and ministered to me, encouraged me. I love that man. I know Skaggs doesn't sound Anabaptist, but I don't know if I told you this. My wife's a Buckwalter. So when I go to churches around the country and preach at Mennonite churches, I love to play the game. One time I was preaching at Lower Deer Creek Mennonite Church. A friend of mine there, he's gone to be with the Lord now, Ori Wanger. He had me there for a weekend, and a fellow, I was standing at the back door greeting people as they were walking out, and he said, "I didn't catch your last name." And I said, "Augsburger." Bev's standing there with me, and she's like, "Stop it." I said, "Well, I like that name. If I was going to pick an Anabaptist name, a Mennonite name, I'd pick Augsburger." And so he didn't quite know what was going on. I held onto his hand, and I said, "It's Skaggs." And he goes, "Oh." And he starts to leave, but I had a hold of his hand. And I said, "But my wife, she's a Buckwalter." He says, "The Buckwalter's from Pennsylvania, or the Buckwalter's from Virginia?" And I smiled and said, "Virginia, but I think they're related." And my wife asked me afterwards, "Why do you do that?" I said, "I like to play the game. See, I was born again in the Mennonite church. You can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives, you know?" I love the Mennonite church. I love what God's doing. I love what he's doing here. It's exciting to see God moving in Dayton, Virginia. Let's jump right in and get started. Let me begin by asking you an important question. Have you ever felt like you were made for something more than you're currently living? Have you ever felt that deep in your heart? You were made for something more. I was here for something more. See if I can get this to work. Here we go. Happy Mother's Day. Boom. Your dreams matter. And so the answer is yes, obviously. I mean, many times we go through seasons in life and we wonder what I'm here, what I'm on, what my purpose is, why I'm on this planet. So most people say yes, and that's because you were. You weren't made to be a copy. You're not a secondhand version of someone else's story. You were designed by God as an original with a dream, a purpose, and a destiny that no one else can fulfill. So my message this morning is that your dreams matter. Our main scripture focus, as I said, is in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. And yes, Hannah is her name. So let's pray. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus that not only would you encourage the mothers here, you would encourage the women, the girls, and the husbands and the fathers and everybody in this room that we might fulfill the destiny that you've called us to fulfill in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. So are you ready? Do you realize that you're not here by accident? Your being here even today is not an accident. God's been writing your story before you even knew there was a story. And that's an amazing thought to me. God knew you would be here today, and he knows the end from the beginning. So let's look at a verse here. Prophet Isaiah said, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 46, verse 9, "I am God, the only God you've ever had or ever will have, incomparable, irreplaceable from the beginning, telling you what the ending will be." So God even knew your current address today when you were just a baby. The Apostle Paul was preaching to unbelievers in Athens in Acts 17, verse 21. He said, "God began by making one man, and from him he made all the different people who were living everywhere in the world, and he decided exactly when and where they would live." God knew the name of your parent, the name your parents would give you before you were even conceived. In Luke chapter 1, verse 13, "But the angel said, 'Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John.'" I mean, others in the Bible confirm this over and over again. Jeremiah, Isaiah, even the Apostle Paul. So when I discovered this truth many years ago, I wrote my first book called Dreamweaver, and I was talking about people's destiny, fulfilling and living out the destiny that God had for them. My honest response to God was like, "Really? Really? You even knew my name before I was born? And you named me Sammy Ray? Really? Why would you do that? Sammy Ray? Come on. I mean, Do you know what kids said about my name growing up at school? Why not a masculine name like Micah? Oh, I like that name. Or Mike. Or Sean. I mean, those are masculine names. Sammy? Really? So then I looked up the meaning of my name. In the Hebrew, my name means God has heard and he brought a great light. After preaching in over 130 countries, I guess I can live with it. If you're not happy with your name, look it up. Spend some time thinking about who you really are and look up your name. You'll be quite amazed. On top of that, my grandmother told me after I came to Christ that when I was only 3 days old, God spoke to her. I was 3 days old. She was rocking me. My grandmother and my grandfather were spirit-filled Christians, but my mom had walked away from the Lord, and she had married an ungodly man, and the marriage had already broken by the time she was giving birth to me. And she said she was rocking me in February 1958. There was a snowstorm. She was looking out the window, and she was crying. And the Lord spoke to her and said, Sammy Ray will not only come to know me, he will preach my word all over the world. And she saved that and pondered that in her heart for 18 years until I came to Christ. And then my first visit with her, she told me that story. You see, God has, in fact, created and wove you together in your mother's womb before you were born. He wove within you a design and a dream with your personality before you even saw the light of day. And Buff already read the scripture, but I'm going to read it in another version, the Passion Translation. And it goes like this. It says, the psalmist says, you saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already written, recorded in your book. I mean, think about that for a moment. That while you were in your mother's womb, God crafted a book of destiny for your life. And if you move and know God and you walk with God, you're able to fulfill the plan that God had brought out for your life. And I'll tell you one thing. I lived for many years without that plan. And I've lived now many years with the plan. I like his plan better. You were created with a divine dream planted inside of you by God. It's not hype. It's not a hustle. It's a dream full of purpose and power. Before you were born, God saw your life unfold and wrote every detail in his book of destiny. Wouldn't you like to read that book? I mean, if you're like me, when I get a good book, somebody is recommended me a book. If it's a novel especially, I'll go to the end of the book and read the last part. I just want to see if it's worth spending time reading it, you know? Some people cringe when they hear that. However, there's a catch. Did you love it when there's a catch? The catch is that you were designed to know God. Doesn't that make sense? If you want to know the content of the book of destiny, don't you think it's a good idea to know the author? The Bible reveals many people to us who had a dream and went on to live that dream out. Joseph, son of Jacob, the Apostle Paul, Nehemiah. But since it's Mother's Day, let's talk about some of the women. Deborah, Esther, Ruth, Mary, Priscilla. And one of my favorites is Hannah, the mother of the great prophet Samuel. Ordinary people who embraced their God-given dreams and stepped boldly into their extraordinary destinies. And today, since it's Mother's Day, we're going to start by looking at a young woman named Hannah who discovered her dream to be a mother. Like most average people, our God dreams, as awesome as they are, take some of the most unexpected twists and turns imaginable. And so many times when we take a twist or turn, we think God left us. We think something's wrong. I did something wrong. God's mad at me. People have all kinds of weird thoughts when things go sideways. So if you feel like you were made for more, it's because you were. So say to your neighbor, I was made for more. Oh, come on. Say it like you really mean it. Look at your neighbor and say, I was made for more. There you go. Here's the big idea. I want to share with you the big idea. God has placed the destiny dream inside of you that is bigger than you, but he's also prepared you for it. And so the key to unlock that door is knowing him in an intimate way. Even when life gives you detours or diversions or disappointments, the dream still lives. Most people believe that if God gives us a dream, then our life will be like a straight line. But it's much more like this. What most of us say after, well, I'm on God's path, I know God now, and my life is going to be a straight line. But how many would say that reality is more like the square on the left? Have you ever experienced that in your life? Instead of just a boring straight line, our adventure with God has both mountaintop experiences as well as valleys. So here's the kicker. You can go through those ups and downs alone, or you can go with Jesus. Which do you choose? The disciples were with Jesus in the boat one time, and he was sleeping, and a storm came out of nowhere, and he woke up and commanded the storm to stop. Yeah, so I choose to have Jesus in my boat, especially when my life has both mountains and valleys. What about you? So today we'll learn from Hannah, an ordinary woman who embraced her God-given dream and stepped boldly into her extraordinary destiny. Hannah dreamed of having a son, fervently prayed to God, and vowed to dedicate him to the Lord. And God fulfilled her dream by giving her Samuel, who became one of the greatest prophets in the Bible, a leader in Israel, playing a pivotal role in the nation's spiritual awakening. You see, God sees and hears and honors the dreams in a woman's heart, especially those birthed in prayer, faith, persistence, and surrender. So our key scripture is found, if you're there, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27. It's, "For this child I prayed," Hannah said, "that the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him." 1 Samuel 1, 27. But for Hannah to get there, her life was full of ups and downs. So let's look at five key lessons briefly this morning that we learn from the life of Hannah. Number one, God sees your silent struggles. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "There was a certain man of Ramathaim in Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children." Does anybody see the struggle here already in the first couple of verses? "Now this man used to go up year by year," speaking of Elkanah, "from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts of Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were the priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously, to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?'" So not only was Hannah struggling because of her own dream wasn't being fulfilled, and she was barren, she had to deal with the mockery of the other woman, the other wife in her life. Peninnah provoked her, irritated her, rubbed salt in the wound, yet Hannah stayed persistent in personal worship to her God. Her grief was real, but she didn't give up on her dream. Her dream was to have a child. So here's our first key lesson. Number one, your pain is not hidden from God. He sees your silent tears and understands the cries of a mother's heart, even the ones you've never spoken aloud. Lesson number two, prayer is the place where dreams are birthed. Prayer is the place where dreams are birthed. See, one of the struggles we have, not only mothers, fathers, all of us, is that if we go through a tough time, we generally will be tempted to stop praying. We tend to withdraw. We tend to stop engaging God. And what the Word of God tells us is that when things get tough, that's when we press in. That's not when we pull back. Verse 9, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's continue reading. Verse 9, "After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give you your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. Verse 12, so she continued praying before the Lord, and Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be drunken. Poor lady. He took her to be a drunken woman. Verse 14, and Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I'm a woman troubled in spirit, and I've neither drunk wine or strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went on her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. You see, Hannah didn't just weep. She prayed. She pushed in. She pressed in. She poured out her soul to God in this raw honesty to the Lord about what was in her heart. She made a vow, not out of bargaining, but out of surrender. So our second key lesson is dreams surrendered in prayer become aligned with God's purposes for our lives. Prayer is where burdens are exchanged for hope. What is the one thing that when we go through a tough time that the devil tries to get us to do? To not only pull away from God, to not pray, and to not be in his word, which is the complete opposite of what the word teaches us we should do. Number three, lesson number three from Hannah is that God responds to faith-filled persistence. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19, it says, they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. You see, God remembered Hannah, not because she was perfect, but because she believed. Her long-awaited dream now became her testimony. Lesson number four, your dream is bigger than you think. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21, it says, the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, as soon as this child, Samuel, is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him only, but may the Lord establish his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up along with her with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli, and she said, oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. And she worshiped the Lord there. You see, Hannah kept her vow and gave Samuel back to the Lord. Samuel became one of the greatest prophets in Israel's history. Her dream of a son became God's answer to an entire nation's need, and it changed the course of history. Key lesson, what God births through you can have a generational impact. Your obedience unlocks legacy. So maybe you're a mother here today and you have the children that you wanted. Maybe you're a mother here today and you've never had children that you've wanted. Maybe you're a single and you've wanted to be married and you couldn't be money. I mean, there's all these issues that go in life when we're going through ups and downs of our lives. But I'm telling you, the greatest call of God, hear me clearly, the greatest call of God is not to be a pastor, not to be a prophet, an evangelist, an apostle, or a teacher. The greatest call of God, the highest calling of God, is to be a spiritual father and mother. That means you may not even be married, and you could still be a father to those who come into your congregation who are, have an orphan spirit, like me. I came into the world, my parents were not Christians. My mom didn't find the Lord till 6 months before she died. My dad 3 days before he died. So my whole Christian walk, I wouldn't have had a spiritual father. God's plan is for natural fathers to be spiritual fathers and mothers, spiritual fathers and mothers to their children. That's God's plan for you as parents. However, we know that the plan doesn't always work the way we want it to. So he's designed it so that we, when God brings a Sammy Ray into a congregation who has no spiritual legacy, no parents to nurture them, is to provide that for them. So for me, when God spoke to me, I realized that my own father-in-law, he's now in heaven, he was 92, he went to heaven last August, he became my spiritual father. He not only was my father-in-law, Bev's mom was not only my mother-in-law, they were actually my spiritual parents. They nurtured me in the ways of God. They walked with me. They poured into me. And so I lived an amazing life because two people who already had their natural children saw that I came out of a spiritually orphaned background, and they not only loved me as a son-in-law, but they nurtured me as a spiritual son. And it changed the course of my life. And if you will embrace that, you will have a legacy in heaven. So key lesson number four, what God bursts through you can have a generational impact, and your obedience unlocks an entire legacy. Last but not least, we learned from Hannah, number five, praise is the right response. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there's no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. And this goes on. This song goes on and on and on for eight more verses. Hannah explodes with prophetic, powerful prophetic song of worship as a result of what God had done in her life. She shifts from sorrow to strength, and she celebrates God as her rock, her deliverer, and the one who lifts the lowly. So our final key lesson is that when your dreams come to pass, give God the glory, because this praise is a declaration that his hand was on you all along. Now you might be thinking, Hannah is a great mother in the Bible. She's from the Old Testament, and she's dead. So you might be thinking, are there any others who had this experience that are still alive today? Well, I'm glad you thought that. I wanted to tell you about a girl named Bethany. Bethany Hamilton. Anybody ever heard of Bethany Hamilton? Bethany Hamilton had a dream that was interrupted, and then it was fulfilled. She was 13 years old when she was out surfing in Hawaii, where she lived, and a massive shark attacked her and removed her left arm while surfing. This is right as her career was taking off, because her dream was to become a professional surfer. She had a dream to become a wife and a mother, and when she was laying in the hospital bed, she thought her life was over. She thought it was finished. But Bethany loved the Lord. She loved Jesus. She had a Christian family who walked with her through that whole crisis. And so she returned to professional surfing just months later, going on to win national titles, write books. They even made a Christian movie, a spiritual movie about her life. And she's gone on to inspire millions of people around the world through her testimony. Because her faith in Christ carried her through the ups and downs, the valleys and the mountains that we all have to walk through. Bethany said, and I quote, I don't need easy, I just need possible. And she pressed through. So today Bethany is married to her husband Adam, who's a pastor. And they have four children, Tobias, Wesley, Micah, and Aliyah Dorothy. Bethany continues to inspire others through her faith and her resilience, balancing her roles as a professional surfer, motivational speaker, and a devoted mom. So to every mom here today, every woman here today, I just wanted to say to you this morning, your dreams do matter. No matter where you're at on that continuum, your dreams do matter. And even if you don't have natural children, God's ultimate plan is for all of us to mature and become spiritual mothers and fathers and discover what that ultimate dream is that He's written about. Like Hannah, your prayers, your pain, your praise are all a part of the process. Because I've learned in my life, God is the giver of dreams and He's the killer of nightmares. And if you walk with Him faithfully, you'll live to see it come together. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, I thank You so much for Your goodness. I thank You for Your faithfulness. I thank You, God, that You have put everything we need in the Word of God and that we can trust it, we can depend on it, we can look to You, God, for the answers that were the questions that we're asking, and we can trust You, and we give You all the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
In the Mennonite hymnal, please turn to number 558. My hope is built on nothing less, number 558.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam, for an inspirational and timely message. I love the thought that you brought out. Regardless if you're a biological mom, an adoptive mom, or a mom's figure in somebody's life, you are important. You're important in God's eyes. You're important in the eyes of society and certainly the church. So thank you for that. I do have to question one thing, though. Your lack of Anabaptist heritage. So you need to go back in your family line and check for good, because you're the only person in the world besides my wife that reads the last page of a book first. That brings us to our time of announcements this morning. There's a correction this week, Wednesday, May 14th, congregational prayer meeting. That's an incorrect date. It's the following week, right, Mike? Okay, then over on the right side of your bulletin, testimony night, May 18th. That's next Sunday in the fellowship hall. Please come out. We have three individuals giving their personal testimony, their life's journey, and those are always great times of fellowship and learning something about someone you go to church with that you probably didn't know before. I believe we have an announcement from the fundraising committee from one of the guys, Brandon.
Good morning, church. On behalf of the fundraising committee, we want to thank everyone for coming out, your support, your efforts, your donation, all of that. It was an extremely successful night. Between the auction and food, we did $272,000. So that puts us at a total. Here we go. That puts us at a total at $1,350,000 currently. There's a few things that we need to do this week, so that number may change just a little bit, but we will give y'all an update next Sunday of exactly where we're at, but roughly $1,350,000. So thank y'all very, very much.
Thanks. Thanks to the committee for putting the auction together, and certainly to all of you who donated or purchased items. We're getting close to our goal. Mike?
Yeah, I really want to encourage you to come out to prayer meeting on the 21st. We need to be in prayer. And I want to spend just a moment praying right now and draw your attention to Brent, who is in the ICU. And Friday afternoon, things didn't go the way they planned. And you talk about valleys and mountains and valleys. And there's a number in our congregation right now going through valleys, and I want to highlight Brent, Sue, the kids. It's a good time to encourage them, and I just thought it'd be good to pray for Brent and the family right now, and then I have one other announcement. Would you pray with me? Father, we come before you right now, and we are reminded of the value of each life. I thank you for the message that Sam brought. Father, encourage Brent, encourage Sue, and the children, Mariah, Addison, Shan, and Colton. Father, right now, they need life. It feels like death. It feels like sickness. And we ask that when joy is stolen, you'd restore to them the joy of their salvation, Father, and help them to know that they are not alone. Help them to know that there is a congregation right now praying as one that is with them. And most of all, assure them that you are with them. Be close to them, we pray. And we ask for healing over Brent's body in the name of Jesus. We pray it. Amen. You know, we're told to rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another, don't be proud, be willing to associate with people of low position. That means be empathetic. Feel what people are feeling. And there's some hard things being felt right now. One person that has felt a lot of hard things, and he suffers very well, and he's watching from home right now, is Pedro Sandoval. And today is his birthday. Hi, Pedro. we're with you also. Don't ever forget it, you and Rufa. So they're turning the mics on. Let's sing Happy Birthday to Pedro.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pedro. Happy birthday to you.
Love you.
Amen. So this brings us to the end of our service. In case you're wondering, these roses up here weren't just for decoration. This rose is for all the moms in the congregation. I'm going to invite a couple of ushers to come up. And kids, listen carefully. We've got a ton of visitors today, and there's a lot of moms in that group of visitors. I see a lot of roses here, but I also see a lot of moms. So please try to limit it to one rose per mom to make sure that everyone gets one. So if your mom or your wife is here, she's a mom figure in your life or whatever, please come up and get that individual rose. Take it back to them. You don't have to all come at once, but now's your time. Well, thankfully, we have plenty of roses. If you're going to visit your mom today and you would like to take her a rose, feel free to come up and grab one. Don't be shy. There's still a few left. Okay, this concludes our service. Please stand with me as we pray together. God, as we come to the close of this service, we just thank you and praise you for your love, your mercy. We thank you for the beauty of this day of worship. Thank you for the wonderful message we heard this morning. We just pray your abundant blessing on Sam and Bev as they minister around the world. We lift up those in our congregation, again, as we already have, who are sick, who are suffering. And we just pray, Lord, that you would touch their bodies, that you would touch their spirit, that they would experience the peace that only Christ can bring into their life. We pray that as a congregation that we can surround these people with love and compassion and truly show them what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. We pray for our nation this morning. We just think of the precious gift that freedom of worship is. We pray, God, we thank you for that, and we pray we would never take it for granted. We pray for revival in our own hearts. We pray for revival in our nation and around the world, and ask your special blessing on those who share the gospel, many in very dangerous and dark places. Lord, just bless their efforts, protect them physically and spiritually. Now we ask, Lord, that as we leave here, that you would bless us and guide us, watch over us throughout the coming week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Go in peace.